We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody would please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all guests. Appreciate it. Let's move on here. Public comment. I guess the only thing right now is Deputy Stratton.
Yes.
If there's anything you can kind of update us a little, what's happening in the Sheriff's Department or county?
Well, first of all, I apologize, I'm not in uniform. I've been in training all day, so I'd be in uniform. But I've been here all year. I've seen this guy most of the year, so there's another Brad. That way, but you know, over the past little while, we had one incident. It was about 3-4 weeks ago now. A malicious punishment incident that we've actually taken care of already. It was pretty much solved within about 36 hours. So that was in probably the last city report that we would have gotten over the last little while. Nothing major's come through. I kind of been telling the day guys to give me any heads up if there's anything that's come through. Obviously, we haven't had the rash of thefts like we've had in the past. Oconee was hit in 2010. Victoria was hit in 2009. Chanhassen is hit every year because they have so many, obviously homes. But that hasn't obviously trickled out here. The random burglaries are always going to occur, so if you have one or two of those years, then that's just the way it's going to be. But recently, we haven't had anything major that I know of. I'm trying to hit as more traffic as I can. I catch more and more people not using their turn signals when they turn out 50 downtown. And unfortunately, the more and more I drive through, there's lots and lots of kids that are all over there at the park and everything. So that's something that I've been trying to concentrate on since I came back to the road. Other than that, it's a pretty low-key city. You know, the bar hasn't given us any problems this year. Not that it gives you a lot, but obviously when you have one or two incidents that you come to, they're never very good. But we haven't had any major incidents, which is good. I try and do the bar checks when I can, let the people know I'm in town, whether it's for 5 minutes or 10. They see the squad, you know, they intend to calm down a little bit. So, you know, right now I think it's been pretty good this year. I know my partner that works with me directly on Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays, he makes 3 or 4 passes through every night. He tries to do what he can in the neighborhood that we can get to. So I think we've done more proactive over the last little while just because he and I like to move around. And I know you guys contract for a half hour. I can tell you this. I probably spent about 3 hours of my shift either coming to the city or in the city because I can't just stick in Norwood for a half hour. They go stir crazy. So, but that's about all I have. You know, if there's anything else that comes up, I'll try and do it as soon as I can.
Well, it's good you stop in. You know, like I say, not every meeting, but once in a while. And if there is something, by all means, you're welcome. So,
okay.
Council have anything? Otherwise, I appreciate it.
I'll try and answer anything I can. If you have any questions.
I was just going to say, the road going out of town is getting really fast because I can watch them out the window. They are just really laying it on something.
Is it happening more at night or during the day?
During the day.
Yeah. I'll be completely honest with you, with no coverage during the day, we're pretty light during the day right now. We only have one car that covers from Hamburg to Carver. That guy covers everything in between. There's a day guy that works in Norwood. I'm going to be honest with you, you're probably not going to get a lot of cops here during the day just because as busy as we've been over the last little while, it's going to take calls. And unfortunately, 212 is such a zoo right now with 7 pulls. They spend a lot of their time on 212. I will tell you this. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with Jim Schellhammer. I will pass along to him if he can come in here during the day and try and run some laser catching coming out of town. Because it doesn't turn to 55 until you're well out of the city. So if we can get him slowing down, I'll surely pass it on to him. So
we appreciate it.
And I think the only other thing we've really had as far as any incidents have happened in the park. You know, we've had some vandalism in the park, but lately we haven't had nothing. And kind of one of the things, I've talked to Jim about it and a few of the other officers about just monitoring kids in the park. There tends to be kids down in the park well past their curfews.
Yeah.
So one of the things we kind of talked about was watching, the curfews in the park. And I think now with school starting and the winter almost upon us, I think that'll kind of die down.
Yeah. A big drop in that as soon as school started, which that kind of happens every year. It doesn't matter what city you're in. So I can unfortunately tell you with only a half hour of contract time, if the guy doesn't come through, it's like catching a guy burglarizing a house or a business. You almost have to get pretty lucky. But I'm always through. I normally come in on 50 from 31. So I'm driving past the park two or three times every time I'm here. So, we look for that. That's one thing. But we'll push a little bit more, especially when the winter comes. We'll make sure the guys are stopping there. At least pulling through the driveway, shining their lights, make sure at least.
All right.
Good. Anything else?
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the agenda review. If there are any items to be added?
Mayor, City Council, a few items that I have is under my report, contract for snow plowing for upcoming snow season. Also, other things is already on the consent agenda is delinquency report, odd nuisance complaint, water usage and permit activity, and updated claims list. And then also, you'll see handed out in a bigger sheet of paper the cost improvements for streets. Other than that, that's all I have.
Council, anything?
No.
Otherwise, I would ask for a motion to approve or adopt the agenda with the added items.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adopt the agenda with the added items. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Any questions? Now's the time. Otherwise, hopefully, everybody had a chance to look everything over.
I move to approve the consent agenda. Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We've got Mr. Buckentine who hasn't made it, so I'm just going to try. I'll give it rather than go. We'll go to Chief Drady.
Good evening.
Hey, Brad.
Fire Prevention Week is next week, this week, 6th to the 12th. 11th, we have a program set up for kids and the daycares in town and school out there. So we'll be going through some fire prevention things. 31st, we have Halloween patrol. We've done since Jacob Wetterling kidnapping. We've had incidents over the years where kids have pulled knives on other kids and lost kids and scared kids and stuff. So we go out for two and a half hours that night, hand out candy, sit around, wait. November 25th, we'll have fire department officer elections. Next week, we'll be leaving the 16th, but the 17th and the 19th is Fire Chiefs Convention in Rochester. Myself, Adam Glander, and Justin Buckentine will be going to that. At that time, I think Dick will be going down there. We are going to pick up the Eagles that we are getting for the park. We're only going to be 40 miles away from where to pick them up. So he's bringing his pickup down. We're going to get those and get those mounted in the park. Along with that, the last names the people that have donated towards the memorial were put on. You'll be looking for those. The podium's kind of there with all the names on. You go around to the back and there's a big flat granite piece in the back. We got the letters a little bit bigger, and it's right on the back of there. So if you're looking at the statues and turn around, you can see it. So all those extra names are on there. We got a gun raffle going on. If you're interested, see any firefighter, they got gun raffle tickets. Other than that, if there's any questions, otherwise I can give an update on the Robert Avenue improvements.
Brad, what's this that I see about the Relief Association? Are you the person to talk about that? Or
what about?
Well, what I saw is that, you know, your president of your Relief Association has been here twice, and apparently you deal with some accountant down in New Ulm.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, please correct me, but it looks like from the correspondence that I've seen that the fire department has lost state aid because some reports...
We haven't lost any state aid.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
State aid lost.
The first chance for distribution is what it was. We missed out on the first rollout,
okay,
so to say.
Yeah, and now everything, he's got everything in, so there's
okay,
no loss of any money.
Okay.
Robert Avenue, it's been reclaimed, shape ready for blacktop. Today and tomorrow morning they'll put the curb and gutter in, and sometime before the 15th, 16th, in that area will be all paved.
Any questions for Chief Drake pertaining to any of the claims? Now is the time. It was pretty self-explanatory. Anything? Otherwise, thank you.
All right.
Mr. Schultz, we'll take you, being Mr. Buffett, he isn't here. I guess there is a...
Let me give you a quick update on... with Stephen Buckentin, he had submitted a hearing request here to the council to discuss his delinquent water bill. He was not able to make it tonight because he had to work. But he had said that he would pay this Friday. So basically, Sue, when was his water supposed to be turned off?
Third.
Yeah, well, last week already. But he had requested the hearing. And now he's telling me Friday. So I guess quickly, I guess I don't have a problem with that as long as he pays Friday. But if he doesn't pay Friday, then my way needs to be shut off.
Hit the wrench.
I see tomorrow.
Do you need a motion to allow that, to extend it till Friday or not?
Yeah, we probably should, since he signed the paper, worked to request a hearing, and we have documentation there.
I'll move that we give it until Friday to pay in full.
For a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to grant Stephen Buckentin until Friday to take care of his delinquent utility payment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now, Mr. Schultz, you had a request.
Yes, I am here to request, I will be starting with the city on the 21st, and with my current job, we switched to PTO this year, which combined the sick time and your vacation. I had quite a bit of PTO time built up, and what the county policy reads is that they only pay you, they don't even pay you half. Half of it goes into a post-employment health reimbursement account, and the other half is lost. So I requested from them if, being I was an abuser of it and I had the time coming and earned, if I could put my last day down for the 31st, being insurance and everything was already paid for the month, and then take a couple weeks of PTO to get my time down. They agreed with it, but there's one thing that they have. You have to be there on your last day of work. which is the 31st. So I guess what I'm here requesting is if I could come in and do the rounds that day and then go to my current job to finish out and do my exit review and everything that I need to do, and then I guess if there's any problems, I could talk to Sue or stop back here at 3:30 or something for that day. I realize it'll be a day without pay, but I guess what I'm asking is if I could have that day off so I don't lose another 80 hours of PTO. Yeah.
I don't see a problem with it. It's just a formality that you've got to be there.
Some of the ones in Carver County have it that you have to be on, or that you have to be there on your last day, and some don't. Our Department of Public Works says you got to be there on your last day to turn everything in, and like I said, an exit interview and stuff like that. And I guess if they were good enough, I guess to allow me to burn some of that time up that I had earned. So I guess if I could get that approved, I would appreciate it. Or if you got any questions for me.
So you're not starting on the 21st then?
I will start here on the 21st, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But you have to do something on the 30th. You have to be there at the 31st then?
On the 31st, I need to be back at Carver County for that day from 7 to 3:30, because that would be my last day.
And
after
what day of the week is that?
Thursday, then?
Thursday.
I'm not sure.
Halloween.
Halloween.
Yeah.
I think it's Thursday. But I don't even think you'd have to do rounds.
No.
Well, you have people services to be here, so.
Okay.
You going to need a motion on that? Or?
Yeah, we should have a motion. I would just request that we have a motion that to allow him to take October 31st off, but it would be an unpaid date.
Right. And I'll make that motion.
Just second.
Motion made and seconded to grant Greg Schultz the 31st of October off as an unpaid day. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, thank you very much.
It'll work then.
One thing, Mayor, as long as he's here, you and I and Jeremy both know firsthand that the selection of tools that we have, both at the shop and also in the sewage treatment plant, are less than desirable. And seeing how Jeremy's going to be gone for his vacation, is it appropriate for us to authorize the expenditure of some money so you can get some decent tools, or is that premature? What does the council think on that?
Maybe Greg should just take inventory of what he finds down there once.
Yeah,
probably make a list of what you're going to need.
And then make a list.
That was one of my plans. That'll be one of your first duties, is probably sorting out shop and doing an inventory of what we have and what you'll need, and then you can present that at next council, and then we can look at it at that time, see current budget versus 2014 budget.
If I would need something in the meanwhile, I got a lot of tools at home too.
We've kind of been making a list of projects that can be done while Jeremy's gone, like basically inventory, records, maintenance records.
I was down at the park the other night too, and a little something came up when the garage door closed, and it had such a loud screech it was ear piercing. Okay, I'll take care of that too, honey.
Yeah,
a little oil on the wheels. So, all right,
thanks.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, sir. Jeremy, are you going to be back in time for the November meeting or not?
I'll discuss that in my report.
Okay.
We'll move on. We've got Mr. Hinch is here for is it gambling?
Yep. Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
The Pheasants Forever Banquet coming up January 18th. The gambling permit for the raffles.
Well, we've done it before, so.
Yep.
Just another formality.
Yep. We'll get it sent off. I'll ship it out to the state revenue down in Roseville.
I guess at this point, if I need a motion to grant the Pheasants Forever the charitable gambling permit.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the Pheasants Forever with their charitable gambling permit. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Excited.
Yes, please.
I got here.
Yeah.
Sue, do you want to make a copy of that quick and then give it to the commissioner?
All right, we can move on. She'll get the copies here for you. Just a short.
Chip, you got the lease agreement, right? Did I email that to you?
No. Do it. Maybe give that to Jeff Reek, but I have not. You need to get something taken care of with that tonight, too?
Not tonight.
Okay.
We can do that anytime.
Okay.
I was just trying to see if I emailed it to you.
I don't think so. Okay. So
I'll shoot it over to you tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
All right, thanks. We'll move on. Mr. Justin Black from SEH. They have all kinds of information for us tonight, right?
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
The spreadsheet that Jeremy handed out, as he had mentioned, a couple things there. It's a little larger, so it's easier to read. And then we went in and updated the cost estimates based on costs that we're seeing right now in the street construction industry. We also added a column. If you take a look about a third of the way over the sheet, you'll see a column that says last date of seal coat or mill and overlay. So we took a look at city records, and for all the streets that we've got listed here, we took a look at the last time either the street was seal coated or, like, for example, towards the top of the list there, Robert, we got 2013 in there. We did the mill and overlay operation on that. So it's not the date the street was built, but kind of the last improvement, if you will.
Okay.
So we added that column in there, and then, like I said, we updated the far right-hand column for the construction costs. The other thing that we did, you'll see a number of blanks there. All of the streets that were crack seal and seal coat, I turned those off for now because I know the discussion last time was revolving around a larger project, some type of reconstruct project or partial reconstruct or mill and overlay. So I wanted to get right down to brass tacks and just show that for the council so we don't have so many numbers in front of us. But with that being said, you can see in the far right-hand column we've kind of got a base and upper range for construction costs on these projects. I guess one thing that I will caution the council on, if we were just to pick one line item and do, for example, one block of street, which from a construction standpoint isn't a very cost-effective way to approach a project, these costs would be higher. So this is assuming we're doing several blocks of street as part of a project. So I wouldn't want to pick out just one line item and just do a block of street. I think we ought to look at something a little more comprehensive if we are to look at doing a project next year. So just going back to, I brought with a copy of the street inventory report that we put together for the city a few years ago. And we had a section in there on page 8 called project schedules. And we kind of outlined, it's actually section 7. We kind of outlined the steps in the process. And if you take a look at step number 1, we're in the project scoping and budgeting. That's really the first step. And that's really what we're looking at tonight is project scope. How big is the project and what's the budget look like? So we're really at the first step. Going forward from here, the next step in the process would be identifying that project and that budget and then ordering the engineer to prepare a feasibility report. And what the feasibility report does, a couple of things. First of all, if the city is going to special assess, it's required by law. The law requires a feasibility report to be prepared by a professional engineer for the project. And in that report, it identifies the project, more detailed cost estimates. There's some drawings in there, some more detailed maps than what we have in the street report. And then it identifies estimates for assessments. So that report identifies what those estimated assessment dollar amounts would be for that particular project. And there's some narrative in there that describes projects and the proposed improvements. So from a procedural standpoint, after we identify the project, that's really the next step. Now, a couple things leading up to the feasibility report. If we are doing some total reconstruct work, usually we like to get some elevations out there for storm sewer improvements, some survey work. especially for a larger project, we like to hold an open house meeting, a neighborhood meeting, so we can get people in here in the neighborhood, get some feedback from them. So if there's concerns about some pump lines or people that have concerns about driveway replacements or things like that, we can flesh that out before we get to the feasibility report stage. So that kind of gives you a snapshot of the first couple of steps in the process. And beyond that, I guess I'd be happy to try to answer any questions, or we can discuss some of the numbers or some of the proposed recommendations as far as the.
My first question is this pavement rating. Does a higher number mean that it's that much worse? Is that it, or?
That's correct. The higher number is the worst pavement condition. Now, if you take a look at Sophia from Louisa to Railroad, it's a pavement rating of 3, but on the maps and in the estimate we showed as a total reconstruct, there's some storm sewer work that needs to be completed in that area. So replacing some of that underground piping, we're going to really be tearing up the road, and it'll result in doing more work than just a partial recon. With that being said, when we get into the feasibility report stage, we can take a look at some options. If there's some segments of curb that we can save in a total reconstruct, we surely can take a closer look at that. Right now, the total reconstruct budget numbers is assuming replacing all of the curb and gutter. And I know when I went out and took another look at the street here last week, there's maybe segments we can save. But with that comes some cost and risk. When you're looking at curb and gutter, it's an interesting thing. If you're replacing just segments of curb where they got to come in and manually form it, it's about twice as expensive as if you bring a machine in and slip form the curb, a process where they can just continually place curb for blocks at a time. So if you're looking at curb replacement and you start to get where you're spot replacing more than half of the street, it just makes sense to replace all of it from a cost standpoint, because when you're spot replacing, it's twice as expensive to replace it. But those are some things we can take a look at.
Okay. I think, Justin, I talked to a few of the local, not self-propane, but the historians.
Right.
And it sounds like in 87, when they redid Sophia and Jacob and part of the 87th Street project, that the water mains were replaced.
Okay.
At that time, and the sewer, nothing was done with sewer because sewer was installed in the late 70s.
Sure.
So that's as far as what I know from that standpoint. But another thing, and I don't know, I was meeting with someone else here, and I apologize if I'm doubling up on this, but did you talk about possibly televising, the water and sewer mains to see the condition of them?
Yeah, if the water was replaced in the late 80s, I'd have a level of comfort there that, it's probably either ductile iron or maybe even PVC pipe. I wouldn't see any issues with that. I mean, that water main should have a lot of life or longevity. If we're talking about sanitary sewer in the late 1970s, it likely was PVC pipe, but I can't say that with any certainty here. PVC being a watertight material that'll last 75, 80 years. It'd probably be best to televise that line and see what condition it is. See if the pipe is still round, if there's not any collapses or any issues. I would hate to invest a lot of money in the street surface and then find out we've got an issue with the pipe below. Usually televising runs $2-$2.50 a foot. So if we're looking at televising, say, 1,000 feet, it'd be $2,500. That'd be 3 blocks. I don't even know if there's 3 blocks over at the sanitary sewer out there. But
what we have right now, we got contracted for a 3-year contract with Empire Pipe Service to basically do the whole town.
There you go.
So what I would require is that we have them come out next year, make that a priority.
Yep.
Right away, spring.
Absolutely.
So that way we know what we're dealing with. So when we move forward on one of these two street projects, we know what we're dealing with utility-wise.
Absolutely. And I think once we have that information in hand, then like I said, we can take a closer look in the feasibility report. Can we save some sections of curb? Does that make sense? Can we save some money from that standpoint? I also did a little research on that area in the north part of town, and I know there were some peat soils up in that area, some soft black soils. So that gives me a little bit of concern, too, you know, what we're going to run into if we just do a partial type reconstruct and also we run into some soft soils that could create some problems, too. So I think we want to do some pre-planning, and that's part of the reason why we do things like a feasibility report. We don't just jump right into final bid documents. We want to do some planning up ahead.
Just one other thing I want to reiterate to council is, like we've talked with having a city assessment policy, this is where I really think early winter we need to have, you know, an official city assessment policy in place. Mm-hmm. So when we get to this point, that's done, it's completed, so when we get to these open meetings and that, all that can be presented to people, the public. It just will make the project go a lot smoother knowing what the assessment policy is, which can be handed out to the public, right. Council knows, engineer knows, myself knows, right. Makes everybody's job easier. So I just want to stress that the city needs to address putting that, you know, assessment policy together early this winter.
Oh, that makes sense.
I don't know if the city's looking to start a project next spring already, or I don't expect an answer tonight, or if we're looking maybe planning next year and then construction in 2015. I don't want to rush the process, you know, and I think Jeremy's right in saying you need to have your protocols and your policies in place. And if we're televising next summer, that would give us next summer to, you know, finalize that first step, that scoping budgeting step. And the streets aren't in a condition where one more year is going to make a difference, I think, in what we do. They need repairs, but whether it's this summer or next summer, I don't think we're going to see some substantial loss of street surface. The only thing we'd maybe see is, you know, a little uptick in cost. You know, that depends on the economy and the price of oil and things like that, too. So that's always a little bit of a gamble.
This is true.
On that updated sheet,
yep.
Justin?
Yep.
Ballpark Road, that's basically from center field to right field, right?
Correct, yes.
And then basketball court, is that the parking lot?
That's the parking lot, and that's just the blacktop parking lot that's there now.
Not the
right.
What we discussed when I met with you about it.
Yep.
Trying
yep.
to double that, extending the.
Right. If we were to expand it, and right now there's a part of that's gravel, just to it'd be the south of the existing blacktop. If we were to expand it and pave the rest of that and put 3 inches of bituminous in there, it'd be ballpark $15,000 to $18,000 somewhere in there to finish paving the rest of that. So that would be on top of this $30,000.
Can you add that in here?
Yep, absolutely.
I think it'd be good to have just for budgeting.
Yep, I can add a second line item there.
I know we've discussed that numerous times about expanding that parking lot. And then the street to pond, what is that? The last one there.
Let me take a look at my map here. Jeremy.
I'm just trying to recall.
Is that that other street behind the memorial?
Is that the other parking lot? Or? I don't
know. That's what I'm thinking, according to the price.
Yeah, that's the other parking lot near the stormwater pond.
Can we then... hate to be picky, but
yep.
Street to pond, can we change that to east parking lot?
Sure.
And then the other one, instead of basketball court, to west parking lot? Or just put park, west parking lot, and park, east parking lot. I think that would be
makes sense to me.
A little more
well,
defined
yeah,
there.
Know a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay. West parking.
Well, I guess now we can see what we want to do.
At least this will give you some order of magnitude ideas of what the costs are. And like Jeremy had alluded to, and I think it'd be good due diligence to take a look at that sanitary sewer, these costs only include street surfacing improvements, curb and gutter, drain tile. They don't include any improvements to the sanitary sewer if we were to need that. Also storm sewer. And I know there's storm sewer needs on Sophia. Some of those catch basins need to be replaced, but those costs aren't in here. When we get to a point of identifying a project and knowing some of that background information, we'll update these again and include some of those utility costs.
Okay, so then on like Sophia there, where we got total recon, so we're just basically saying street,
right,
and gutter, and basically we're just saying that's going to be new base?
New base material and then new curb and gutter. Yeah. And again, that's
nothing utility-wise.
No utility-wise. Okay. And the concern there is the underlying soils, the base there. I know there's been some reports of peat soil. And maybe, you know, maybe we've got to get some more historical input, or probably the best way to find out would be to get some
soil. You want to do one more asterisk for me?
Sure.
You know, where you got partial range, maybe do an asterisk and state prices do not include any utility costs?
Yep.
Technically a personality. So.
Well, we want to get it right.
It's just, you know, you look at it now. Now, let's say we don't pick this up till February.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's one thing we could take a look at next summer is we could get you some costs to do a few soil borings out in that area, and that would give us a better idea. If the base material's good underneath the street, and we can salvage some of the curb and gutter, maybe we can dial this down to a partial reconstruct. But our first approach is more of a conservative one, given the things we know up there. That's all I have.
All right. All right. Well, this is good info. We have something we can see in front of us. But I like that.
Well, if you have any other questions and would like me to come back to the another council meeting, like tonight's meeting is at no charge to the city. So I'm just happy to be here and answer some questions. So if you need me to come back and...
Well, you can come all the time then.
Yeah, just come every month.
But you'd have to talk to my wife then. But honestly, if you'd like me to come back in February, I'd be happy to do that. I don't want to be a pest because I understand that you need some time just to talks amongst yourselves too.
This is true.
Just let Jeremy know. You have to come back.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a
good one. Oh, that was enlightening. I think we better buy some lottery tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We'll move on. Mr. John Anderson, Midwest Electric and Generator. Good evening. Yeah. So you're going to enlighten us? You've been in conversation?
Larry Miller was here like in August and had mentioned the fact that the city should think about replacing that generator down at the lift station. And so I talked to Jeremy about that, and Jeremy, of course, is up to his elbows in budgets and everything else that's going on. And so I kind of volunteered to look into getting that generator replaced. And when it's down there, it runs on diesel. It's electric start, but it has to be manually hooked up. It's about 30 years old. It's a 30-kilowatt unit, and it's relatively good shape from what Jeremy and I could find here a couple of weeks ago when we started it up. But it's got to be manually started, so you know when the power goes out, somebody has to go down there and do that. So what I did, I contacted Ziegler Company out, which is Caterpillar out by Shakopee, and they came out and looked at it, told them what we were looking for, talked to Midwest Electric and Generator. They hooked me up with John, who's one of their salespeople. Both companies basically got the same information. I asked that they submit a proposal to us so that we could look at it and talk about it and see what's going on. Basically, Ziegler is supplying just the generator. We have to pay to have it lifted off the trailer and put on the pad. We have to pay to have an electrician come out and hook up the transfer switch. And there's just, you know, going to be two or three or four different companies or individuals involved. John's company will take and come out, put the system in, put in the transfer switch, supply everything so that when he drives out of the West Park, everything will be up and running. And if there is a problem, we've got one company or one person to go to. John's company's bid is less obviously than what Ziegler would be. And there's also the question of if we have somebody, our own cement contractor, put in a pad down there for this thing to sit on. It has to sit on cement. We can probably save some money versus having John's company find a cement contractor and do that. John said that if we have somebody else put in the pad, he doesn't have a problem with that. He will coordinate that getting done. All we have to do is have the cement contractor contact him, and they'll work together.
That's what we can handle.
Yeah, and we could coordinate that, so we have to put stub ups and everything else in for that.
So I've talked to the gas company because this will be a gas, a natural gas generator, so we don't have to worry about stagnated fuel. The gas company will install gas service free. Now, the gas main runs on the north side of County Road 50. They will install the gas service and hang the meter free of charge to the city. And I got additional documentation verifying that today. The other thing that's critical is that Jeremy is totally aware of what's going on here. And I just want him to verify what I'm doing so that he knows. But the city will do that, or the gas company will do that. We have to have the cement there and show them where we want the meter, and they will put that in. The catch on that is that they have to put that in before the ground freezes, because if the ground freezes and then they have to take and put that gas line in, they have to heat it up and they have to have two burn pits, and it's $400 a burn pit. So I guess what I'm thinking is there's also a clause, and Jeremy can address this, that after the 1st of January, we don't have to pay sales tax on this $23,000 purchase, so that's going to be a good chunk of money. So if we're looking to have this thing installed, I would suggest that perhaps we come up with the money to have the pad put in there, the gas will be put in at no charge, and then sometime after the first of the year, have John's company come out and put the system in. Now, as for the finances, Jeremy's the guy to talk to obviously about that.
As for locating the gas meter, would you coordinate with them?
Yeah, we can help you out with the coordination. When we were down at the lift station, it looked like it was a pretty simple, put a flag in the ground and say this is kind of where it's going to sit. We have the pad dimensions and all that. We can turn over to you on that part of it. And I agree that getting the concrete in, we have a couple stubs we need to do for electrical in that concrete. So even if you guys decide after January to put the generator in, having us in touch with the contractor for the concrete just to make sure everything's placed where it's supposed to in the pad.
Okay,
we can just come out
sense.
And do that part of it. Yeah, absolutely. So the other thing with the generator, it will tie into, you guys have a monitored system out there through the security or through the alarm for the level out there too. The generator will tie into the same control. So if there was any issue, we're the warranty contractor for it also, and you know, we'd set it up for that part of it if there ever was an issue.
So being this one, it would stay out there year-round.
Exactly.
Now, is that going to be somewhat like heated?
Yeah, so what we'll have is we'll have a tank heater for the antifreeze, and we'll have an oil heater with a thermostat. It's all a self-contained stationary unit. We have hundreds of them out there, the same setup, so...
So 2.4
four-cylinder? Yeah,
four-cylinder. Is that what they're going to now? Or?
Yeah, so it'll be a natural gas required 36 kW rated. That was the closest size we could get for what's out there. The capacity on the 30 kW, you're well at capacity with that lift station, with that generator as it is.
Now, would there be, how should I say, like regular other plug-ins too yet that one could, you know, like say if you wanted to have some lights or something down there.
Yeah, that's something. There's definitely capacity. It's built for about a 25% additional capacity on top of the generator at an additional cost. You know, it would be tied into that system. How the transfer panel works on that lift station, it's sort of one big assembly. So you'd have to have an electrician, or we could take care of it, put in a little panel so you could feed a lighting panel, or you could feed a couple outlets.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Yeah.
But I mean, just what was discussed now, everything is going to be, would be hooked up, a complete package?
Complete package,
done.
Yeah. Yep, everything we do turnkey. We wouldn't do the panel for the lights, but we'd put in the transfer switch, we'd do the set it on site, we'd do the inspections and all the other cold weather kits and all the other things that come along with it.
Now, are there any, now it says there's a 2-year warranty on
Correct.
The engine. Now, are there any inspections that use come out and say check after a year?
Yeah, so what we'd like to get you set up with is a maintenance contract that sets you back above $300 a year just to have us come out and do the oil change, do the spark plugs, do testing on the equipment to make sure it's set like it is.
And at that time, the generator is checked?
Yes, absolutely. And the generator also will do a weekly cycle time for 12 minutes on its own every single week, so we can set it up Monday at 12 o'clock or whatever. That's a programmable option. So if you have somebody down there to check on that lift station, we can do it at the same time. And the redundancy of that is we can tie into that system also that's down there. So if there was an issue, the generator would throw a common fault. Whoever gets notified at the lift station if there's an issue, they have our contact information for that.
Okay. That's good. It's handy.
It is. Very handy. I know we didn't talk about extended warranties, but if you guys wanted to do an extended warranty, it sets you back about $600 to do that. You could get out to a 5-year warranty on that generator. It's definitely a long-term generator.
Not to throw a wrench in things or what, but I've had a few people, including our emergency management director, come up to me and ask if the council should be considering a portable generator so it can be used for other type uses, other places or other situations, versus having just a dedicated generator down there. I don't know what council's thoughts are on that. I mean, as long as I've been here, I don't know that we've ever...
Well, there could be a disaster in another town.
Right.
But we still got the old backup one that works.
Right.
That would be the one to go.
And the thing is that if that's a portable, if a new one is a portable on wheels, you can't have it hooked up to natural gas.
Right.
That's against the code.
And it's the automatic side of, you know. So the thing for you guys that if there's an issue and the power's out long term, you have somebody camped out there with the generator, you know, to make sure it works.
Right. This way we don't have
exactly.
to. It's automatic.
Exactly.
And
yeah. And you're not having to move fuel and, you know, be worried with that part of it too.
And that old generator then can go to wherever it has to go.
Well, if it, yeah. we're still going to keep it.
For sure. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But if somebody yeah. needs it, that's the one we can help out.
Because if you have a long-term disaster here, you're going to need to. We're going to need that. Be sure that we got the power down there. So.
Not the run of water again.
Don't say that.
Well, like I say, it was budgeted for next year. But like I say, if we want to get moving on the pad, and I'm quite sure we can find somebody to do some cement work. You've got the specs, how big it should be.
Absolutely. We've got the specs, and I think the best, even if we're not under a contract for our installation part of it yet, at least let us work with the concrete to make sure we get all the stubs and all the correct parts in it. And then for budgeting next year, March is usually a price increase on generator systems, so you probably look at about 4% is the average of what they are.
And once the gas is there and the pads are, you can put it in anytime.
You can put it anytime, yeah. You could be out there, and the weather pertaining, as long as it's not 40 below.
We have all the prep work done.
Yeah, all the prep work comes at the generator.
It January to beat any
exactly.
price increases and then have it done in spring. Would there be any
yeah.
issues with that?
No issue with that.
Well, I would say, weather permitting, we could have an ice storm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
If it's a 30 degree January day, they could come out and
yeah.
you know,
okay.
do it yet.
Right.
So.
Okay.
2.4, what is that? Chevy? Ford?
Yeah, that's the Chevy engine. Yeah, GM engine. That's the onboard electronics.
I know that can't
Shame. Well, my kid's got one. He's got a 3.0, which is a 4, which I know about. And then we got the V10 here in the water treatment plant. I guess they're designed to all work.
So. Yes, they are. So any questions you guys can think of?
Well, I think it sounds good to me.
I guess what's council's wishes? I mean, we don't meet again until November.
That is going to take 2 to 5 weeks for us to get the gas company organized. I got to fill out a site plan and whatnot and submit it to them. And so, you know, if in 5 weeks we could conceivably have snow and frozen ground and the whole works. So I guess if we're going to move on it, well, tonight would be the time to move on it. And I can get the gas company notified, and we'll get them hooked up with John and get the cement contractor hooked up with John. That's what the council wants.
I think that'd be a good idea to get it rolling. Mm-hmm.
Does this thing come with a different engine?
Does not come with a different engine.
Do you have a different model with a different engine?
We have, and we can look at different models. The Cummins unit would come with a different engine, pretty comparable in price. You know, we're maybe talking about $1,000 swing as far as that is. That would be down to a 30 kW unit.
That would be a diesel motor. Though.
What's that?
That would be diesel.
That'd be natural gas also, yeah.
The Cummins?
Yeah, yeah. But again, then they're probably using the Ford engine as far, you know. I'd have to look and see. They might even be using CGM.
Well, we respect this. We're not going to
goof
around, I don't think, at this point. Mm-hmm. We'll stick with what
was
proposed to handle it. So
you'd want to make sure, before we pour the concrete, or the concrete gets poured, which one it is. Because they all step up different. So.
Well, I suppose at this point we should probably have a motion that we're going to proceed. And then find a cement contractor?
Yeah.
Well, I guess my big question is, you know, if it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks to get the gas company to actually do this, even if we submit the paperwork tomorrow, again, that's towards the end of November, are they actually going to come out and do it, or are they going to come out and say, oh, well, no, we can't do this now, we have to torch the ground? That's my question.
Well, that's something we'd have to stipulate with the gas company and say, hey, you get it in now. Well, it's
2 to 5.
And I don't think we're going to have a hard freeze, in 5 weeks.
And they're usually pretty easy to deal with, especially if it's a city requesting it.
I don't know. Well, I've dealt with XL Energy before, and they're not easy to deal with, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
I'm meeting with their XL rep on Monday, so I'll try to push it forward.
Yeah, and I had real good, rapport with this lady that I dealt with.
So I think at this point we need a motion that we're going to proceed, and then we get the ball rolling.
And I'll make the motion.
You're second.
I'll second it, I guess.
Motion made and seconded to proceed with the, or should I say, the generator installation as to getting the cement pad and the gas to the site, and then basically the generator will be handled after the first of the year. So, motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. So I guess we'll get this all coordinated.
All right.
And
I'll coordinate through as far as that. So we'll make sure that we're coordinated on. So, all right.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. I'll be in touch with my own lady's name.
Good.
Greg, do you have, being you're going to be involved with this, do you have anybody that you know of that would put that cement pad in and stuff? Any contacts or?
Doesn't Brad know somebody?
Well, Brad knows everybody.
I mean, in the cement business?
Well, yeah, there's people in.
Can't be that big.
There's people in Green Isle that'll do it.
But Brad doesn't do cement.
There's a guy I know would do hard stuff, masonry, whatever, but I don't know who. But I've seen his truck, but I don't know who he is.
We've had a little difficulty with him.
Okay, like I said, I don't know a guy. I've just seen his truck, that's all.
Yeah. basically there's Wentzloff. He would do it.
Do you know Don Worley?
I've heard the name.
From Carver?
Heard the name.
John Schauer.
Yeah, Schauer.
Basically,
we
want
a 4x6
pad or something. It's not
going to
be huge.
Yeah,
we should be able to do that ourselves, shouldn't we?
Yeah, if you got a truck there, and then like I said, I think that sorry, that could be done by us. It's form it up, you got a cement truck in there.
Yeah.
So they're going to put the pipes where they want them, basically. Level it out.
Yeah.
Like a bobcat.
How they're going to use lag bolts, some sort of.
Yep. Yeah, he says they have to put those in, and then the pipes for the wires, or the conduit for the wires.
So I imagine they'd come out and.
They set it off and wire it up, and they just pour the cement around, I would guess.
Imagine we just have to get the bobcat and tear that lag the pavement out where the generator's sitting on now.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not. Yeah, well, basically it's just a...
gravel base.
Is it gravel? I thought it was...
Oh, no, it's tarred.
You know, end up, we just tarred, have to yeah. take so that out with the bobcat, haul some red rock or whatever base, and... Like you say, we could form it up then.
Is the blacktop coming off from the parking lot going to it? Or is it just blacktop in the city?
Just a pad, I think. Yeah, there's
grass.
Right. You could just get right under it then with the...
And there's actually room between the end of the pad and the road. There's plenty of room to put, you know, the blacktop pad is into the road. There's enough room there to put the cement pad in without even taking the blacktop out if you... wanted to
put it right by the post or right over there and set further left or south. But you just have the forks on the bobcat get under. It isn't that big of a pad. Yeah. Throw it in the truck and take it down to our junk pile there at Miller's. And
the only thing you'd want to know is if they're going to run the gas up through the cement.
No, they bring it to the edge.
They bring it to the own, and they're going to put a meter outside there.
They hang the meter right next to the edge of
that. That'd be something to find out. You know, that's all.
Well, that'd be all coordinated with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the weight of it. I mean, I'm sure they know if it's, you know, maybe a 6-inch pad, maybe 4-inch. Yeah. I guess a 4-inch pad it would be.
Yeah.
And it's 1,200 and some pounds, it said.
Yeah.
It would be
yeah.
Probably a little
wire mesh just so it doesn't crack. Yeah. Know, but it's simple. But I mean, like I said, I'll have to pipe the stuff. So, I don't know. I don't necessarily know if I know it. Somebody comes in, they're going to get a little project.
Yeah.
Gouge
the
cement or whatever,
2 yards,
whatever, get your truck over, dump it in.
All right. Well, cross that bridge here when we get things organized. Yeah. So. All right, anything else? Otherwise, we'll move on. Then we're going to old city business. That says revised NIMS. You've got most of your NIMS, don't you? Yeah.
Do you have 1, 2 of them in 700?
I believe so.
Excellent. Just updated. I don't know if you checked the emails, but I did get in touch with Mr. Walsh at the county. And it pretty much sounds everything's done online now. There's no classes or nothing, so everything's done online.
Did you forward it, I imagine? You got the websites? All righty. The city assessment policy, which we discussed. Recycling container for the community hall.
I did get in touch with Mr. Donnell with Waste Management. And there are some options we can do, anywhere from a cart to a container. Containers are typically 2, 4, 6, and 8 yards. The container we have is 1.5 yards. So I did get some information on that. I don't know what council's thoughts are. What size they'd like to put there for recycling, and where you would like to locate it.
What is this size back here? Is this the
six?
Six. And what? Where's a 1.5?
won't be the containers, plastic recycling that everybody has, the residential side.
Bob, what do you really want recycled?
Anything with a little triangle on it can be recycled. Even the plastic cups that they serve, the beer cups, are actually recyclable. Now, technically, you're supposed to rinse them out because they don't want anything dirty, but you know, those all go in the trash, but they are technically recyclable. So anything cardboard, paper can be recycled. Any glass, aluminum, and the Lions have the big trash cans for aluminum cans, but all the glass goes in the dumpster. All the cardboard, everything goes in the dumpster that people bring and exit, even the cups. But you know, again, pretty much anything that can be recycled, I would say probably about 60% of what gets used on there can be recycled.
I
would say we don't really need anything huge. He said we have a 6-yard and 1.5-yard. I would say we probably could split the difference and go with a 4-yard one.
My only concern is I understand the clubs will probably recycle. I don't necessarily know that the renters are. I would like them to, but nobody's going to police them to recycle.
Well,
so I guess the size-wise, is we have to determine in two, location of it. Because you already have, I think there's a 6-yard over there container. And that basically fits just nicely behind the steps there and doesn't block the alley. If you add something, you're going to be blocking that alley. That alley gets used a lot, so you don't want to be placing anything and blocking the alley access. So I guess my question is, where can you put it? Because you don't want to be putting it anywhere else and taking up there's already minimal parking spots there. So I guess I'm open to suggesting as to placement of it. I guess is more so my concern is the placement of it.
Well, like you mentioned, the private parties, if they would recycle, correct? That we'd urge them to.
I even think just a little sign.
And I can make the point across to them when they rent, they have a dumpster out there for the garbage.
We appreciate recycle.
Even in the hall, just a sign that says, please recycle anything you can, glass, whatever, just something like that. Because I think that most people would probably, the renters and whatever, would probably do it if there was a space for it. But there never has been. And there isn't right now, so people just, we have the big trash cans for the aluminum cans, but for everything else, there's nothing, so people just toss it in the dumpster, because they don't want to be stuck with it, obviously.
Well, I guess if we're going to do it, I'd probably say give up the space right there by that landing, next to the one that's there. Because the steps go down the other way, just...
Right in front of the steps?
Yeah. Give up one parking spot. Let's try it.
I'd say now we probably don't need to do it, but in spring we probably should look at the park also, putting some down at the park. I mean, we have a container here, so I think it'd be wise to put something in the park too in spring. Now don't pay too. I mean, we have towards winter here, but.
I guess
the hall. I would say hall. We'd probably want to do it now. We've got a lot of city functions coming up. When we get into January, that's very busy.
Exactly.
There's a lot of recyclables.
Before the first of the year, at least, because we do have.
And even maybe for the bingo.
Big things, yeah. Maybe for bingo too. Exactly. Yeah. That'd be great.
So I think getting the hall one, we should get that in place, and then park. We should just mental note to have that added in spring at the park. What size? Four.
I think four would probably work.
And did they say they empty that every 2 weeks, or did they?
Every two, yeah.
Okay. So when they do the recycling here,
yeah.
I would try it. See what kind.
See how it goes. And
yeah.
And how much is that? Are they charging us for that?
Oh, they don't.
Well, it should be included in our contract.
Yep.
Right?
Okay. Good.
So let's give it a whirl. See how much participation there is using it.
I'm just going to make a suggestion on that dumpster be heavily placarded or that
recycling.
Because I had a lot of experience with that in the park system. I'm big on recycling. I got more of that than I got in my garbage can. A lot of people don't care. They will throw their garbage in with it.
That's what I'm worried about with the private parties versus I know the clubs will do it.
Yeah, and especially if it's sitting right over here, I've already seen people come up and throw the garbage into the one that we got by the hall.
True.
Yeah.
So like I said, either a sign out in front of it, recycle only.
We could put that right on that landing.
Yes, make people aware of it.
Permanent.
Well, I think that the ones that they actually put down there for recycling, I think they label them recycling only. Like they do with your regular trash can that you got at home with the yellow lid. I believe that they have recycling ones. They're specifically for it and they're labeled that way, whether it's co-mingled recycling or whatever, but I believe that's the way they're actually taken care of, right?
The only thing is some people at 12:30 at night with one eye open.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're never going to be able to... We can't ever be able to fix that.
But yeah, we can... Well, let's try it once. All right, next item says time clocks. You've evidently checked into.
Yeah, roughly, if you want something decent, anywhere from $150 to $300 for a time clock for something decent.
Did the county use a time clock, or was it on a computer, or what did they use?
I worked for the city of Oconee, they had a time clock. I never had one with the county. All our stuff was done on a computer, but we never actually punched in. It's number of hours and factors. So, city of Oconee had a time clock.
Okay. I just didn't know if the county had anything out there or not.
City of Oconee, you would punch in when you got there. You didn't get paid for lunch, so you punched out at 12 or 11:30, whatever you took.
I guess it's got its pros and cons, because if you're doing something, you're not just going to want to run up here and punch out, and you know what I mean?
I think that a time clock, that, you know, if you're a big company, that's one thing, but I think in a small town where we've got two full-time employees, one is salaried, and we've got one part-time employee, I think we're trying to find a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And I think that, to me, that shows that, you know, well, is somebody fudging here? And I don't have one iota of a thought that anybody is fudging. I trust Jeremy explicitly. I trust Sue explicitly. And Dennis, Jeremy could keep track of him. Sue could keep track of him if Jeremy was here. So I just, I think having a time clock is a non-issue. I see no reason, no benefit for it at all.
Sometimes on a liability issue, it comes in handy.
And that's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
But what I'm saying, if we're trying to keep track of who's working how many hours when, I don't think that that's...
I think he's more worried, as he said, liability-wise, workman's compensation-wise, so things like something like that. I guess, are you comfortable with punching it on a computer instead versus actually having a clock? Versus if we put software on the computer or something like that?
I couldn't care less. Either way, it don't matter to me. I'm not going to
Because I know that was rather convenient when we used it. I've had it at several places that I've worked before. Was, you know, that basically you just use the computer to punch in and out when you wanted to do it. So it wasn't an actual fixture and a clock. You just went to a terminal and did whatever you need to do with it, sign in and sign out, whatever you want to do. So.
Will I have a computer down here? Or would I come up here and punch in then?
Well, I guess if we were going to, do you have a smartphone, Greg, or just like a regular phone?
Okay.
I was going to say, if you have a smartphone, we could probably find one of these places that has an app that actually you could probably actually punch it out on your phone. But
I just had a text to ask
you. Do you have the laptop on
it? Bill, laptop don't work. It gave me the blue screen of death. That's what my brother calls it, so. I have it yet, though. In the closet.
Well, maybe.
And I think we have. Was that the old compact computer still works?
We'll see. We're not going to...
We'll make arrangements.
We'll see it one way or the other. For internet service, there's nothing there.
I have to look to see if there's... Is media come, must come into the building somewhere.
Oh.
For, don't they have it in the sports mills?
I don't know.
Club room? I'd have to look
into it. Well, we'll move on here. It's just food for thought.
Add it to the wish list.
Yeah. Anything else under old city business? Otherwise, we'll move on to Jeremy.
First thing, this, there's no one else here from the public, and the guy we hired here, but just to formally announce that the city has hired Greg Schultz as their public works maintenance worker. Starting date will be October 21st. Cleaning and televising of sanitary sewer lines. I believe everybody's got a copy of the report.
Do you understand it all?
A little bit. Larry went over it with me, the major concerns. So
I understand that the manhole is open.
Yeah, it isn't the greatest detail, so to say. It would have been nicer if they would have been a little more word-specific, maybe, on it. But one of the things, I talked to Larry Mueller, who went around with them guys when they did the televising, and basically manhole 49B, in between 49B and 49, there's a possible broken Y at station 191, and basically I believe that was Lois Williamson's service. So what he suggested, that's something that should be dug up, probably checked and looked at, that connection there. So it's probably the service connection going into the main that's bad there.
That should be done before winter, huh?
Yeah, he thought we should probably have somebody come up and dig that out and look at that.
Okay.
It's probably taking, most likely we'd probably have Hennings do that. And then the only other things he said really that were, he said pretty much overall the pipe was in pretty good shape. But he said there was some minor root growth. I have talked to people's services about what we could maybe do there to address them issues. And then between manhole 37 and 38, possible crack in the pipe. And that's between Adam Glander and Leroy Glander's houses there. Bergman's are staying there now. So that would be on Martha. So it would be right back behind Martha there. So he said then we're kind of the major issues. So really, in all that televising, the lines they did, they didn't find any real major issues or setbacks there. So just maybe the one bad service connection and some minor root growth, and then maybe some possibly cracked pipe that we may need to continue to monitor.
Do we have like a map that shows us where manhole 37 is? And
yeah, there is a map, but I was hoping they would draft something with that, but there was nothing in the report for the map they had, and I think...
Yeah, I have no idea where any of these, what these manhole numbers mean themselves.
That's why I tried using names. But basically, the service connection would be on Park Avenue. Lois's address or not, but that's what Larry's got right there. But yeah, I can look at possibly see if we can't get some type of map drawn up to put with the report. So I'll make note of that.
Be a good reference point.
I have one in my office, but if council wants it, I can try
like
to
just kind of something, I mean, maybe not as fancy as the road report, but something along that line, so at least we know what's been done and what information's out there.
As long as you're willing to spend the money for the engineer to do it. Because I don't have the software to do that. water treatment plant. As council knows and is aware that we had a gas leak out there, I had engineers for Ziegler come out and address the gas leak out there. And they were going to run the generator well. They were out here, but the generator didn't start. So they're thinking it's the battery. That's at least the easiest place to start. I guess the question I got is, do we just want to go ahead and replace the battery ourselves and run the generator? I guess I'm not familiar with it. Dick, are you a little more familiar with the operation of it?
We can get a battery and fire it up.
I believe it was roughly
we can test the battery, see what's
$130 to $150 for that battery. It's a type 49 battery, so...
just a regular...
Does it mean we should get it running?
Is it a standard deep cycle style car battery?
No, not at all.
It's
like a Caterpillar tractor.
Oh, big one?
Caterpillar tractor battery.
It's about 14, 15 inches.
So
55 pounds.
I know what you're looking at then. We used to sell those at Carco too, so I know what you're talking about.
Do you have...
As long as Greg is comfortable hooking it up, it's, you know...
Well, the thing is, when we go to fire it up in test mode, does that shut the power off momentarily to the water treatment plant?
Yeah, when we do it, I'm going to need heads up here, otherwise I'm going to shut down my server and I'll lose any work, so I have to know about that.
And does the water treatment plant, when it loses power for a short time and then comes back on, does that require anything to be done to reset?
It shouldn't, but I would definitely, the day we do that, want to monitor the treatment plant to make sure that it doesn't trip any alarms.
Did they give you any indication, Jeremy, how much it would cost for them to take and get that thing back to where it was?
I know Ziegler's expensive, yeah. I'll be honest.
But, you know, that battery went dead, but it was, what, 7 years old or 6 years old or something?
I don't know. Is that the end of maintainer on it?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. That would be a cheap $50.
I don't think it does. It doesn't.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Well, but it could be built into the control panel.
I don't know if it is or not. But
the only thing that's going to charge is when it's running. If it don't run, it will go down on its own.
Yeah.
Like I said, for $40 to $50, you could have a maintainer on it. Extends the life of the battery, and then the CDR, you also don't have the issue of not starting the community, you know. It's really easy to look up to walls, so that was something that should be.
Well, should I get a battery in the meantime, or do we want to wait till the 21st or when Greg is?
Well, it hasn't been running now. I think we'll just wait till Greg starts and have him put a battery in with a battery maintainer, like you said, and he might as well get used to it. He knows what you know.
Yeah, if it doesn't have a maintainer, it only charges when it runs. It's not really bad.
Well, one thing too, you know, you're going to probably be doing, you know, more maintenance stuff that needs me around here. Maybe you'll have to set up an account with, I don't know if you go to CarQuest or...
We got accounts at both.
So. You know, that... Well, so they know that he...
Yeah, we'll just have to add him to it.
You know, and get him on the Menards and, you know, that you get what you need.
I guess I'll ask this too, as long as if it does come to that, you as a council have a preference as to, like, a park store, CarQuest as opposed to Napa, vice versa, transfer it out, keep the business.
I found CarQuest to be much more accommodating.
I mean, like I said, I don't know where you want to go. There's two, three of them, Colman, there's Lanco, there's all kinds of different parts.
Well, it's probably like you stay in Norwood, maybe CarQuest.
Yeah, we have accounts set up at Napa and CarQuest in Norwood.
I would sell to, you know, locally going to America and stuff too, and that's the kind of trying to scratch each other going back.
Yeah.
And that's usually the route we've always taken too.
Because that way, if we need a donation or something once,
exactly.
You know, like you say, yeah. One scratches the other is back, you know.
Well, kind of along those lines, maybe. You want him to enter inventory tools and get what he wants. Do we need to set up a tool account with somebody like Snap-on, or are we just going to go with the less expensive stuff?
Well, I guess...
You want some quality for Craig. I mean, Craig's going to do a lot more maintenance type issues.
You don't want Taiwan because it don't last.
No.
Yeah.
It's just, you probably don't know that.
I guess let's see once kind of what you come up with a list that's needed. You know.
What I could do too is if you come up with a list, you know, whatever you get, even the Craftsman tool is warranted for life. You just take it back there and they, that, you know, I get work there. We got Cornell tools. I get an account through them. I got Snap-on. What I should probably do is just check prices. Once we know
what we need. Yeah.
You
know,
you just see. Or get a bit of sorts. Once you get a basic, but I don't know if it's out there at all. So.
That's true.
I guess in the meantime, if I need something,
I got
stuff I
want
to produce
for them. Well, that's not the intent.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like I said, in the meantime, you know, I don't have to be rushing into a trip festival.
Well, what should we do on the battery? Should I get one, or should we wait till Greg is in?
Well, last week when I went in there, Jeremy said it didn't start. My first thought was, let's put a battery charger on the battery. Leave there for 24 hours or 40 hours. But, again, we had the smell of gas in there, so I don't think you want to be doing anything that's got carbon sparks and got gas.
They're coming tomorrow to do the inspection on it, so I'll have them at that time, you know, check.
Should we put a charger on it overnight? And see if maybe that'll crank it up in the morning when you're here.
That wouldn't hurt.
If the battery's 7 years old, I wouldn't waste my time just because.
It's probably so sulfated that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like I said, it's not gonna. It's not gonna be the one you need it if it's 7 years old. Right?
Well, I know I can't get a battery between now and tomorrow. Right.
Can you put them off until the next day?
Well,
they need it to start that. There's chargers in here. You could put the charger on.
Yeah.
Is that a V10 gas or
diesel? Gas.
Yeah. Just by putting one of these things on there with a boost to start that engine, that'd be no problem.
Just wheel that over there. And
if they needed to.
Put that on. Put it on boost.
You're asking the wrong person. I haven't operated it. I'm just saying. I don't know how to run it.
Positive to red?
Well, I know that. I'm saying the generator.
Well, if they're here.
No, I'm talking min specs coming, not Ziegler.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I thought. Well, then we got time.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. Well, Ziegler's not coming out.
Oh, I thought it was Ziegler's
coming out. No, I'm sorry. I should have clarified. Min spec. Okay. Inspection. I guess the
okay, we were talking Ziegler. You're talking inspection. That's what the two of you together. That's who's coming.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So inspects coming.
And see, when I went down and checked, CarQuest can get that battery here the next morning. They don't carry it in stock. Napa says it'll take him a couple of days. One was 144, and one was 129. So you know you're talking $15 difference. But if we're going to do that and Ziegler's going to come out, then I just probably getting a battery and hooking up and see what that gets us is probably the first move.
What kind of battery is it? A 4D or an 8D?
It's a 49. It's about, it's almost like a Caterpillar tractor battery. It's a huge mother, 55 pounds.
55 pounds is nothing. Caterpillar tractor bags are 8Ds. They weigh about 120 pounds. Big. That's Greg. He knows. He knows. But if it's a 49, I know Russ and Carco stocks those. And if not, he can get overnight, and so can Pete at CarQuest. if he can get it overnight. I don't know why Napa couldn't. I guess he could probably get it overnight from his warehouse downtown. But
well, I guess order the doggone battery. See CarQuest or whoever it is. Just get it from CarQuest if they can have it in the day. Or we'll just come up here one night and we'll put it in and go from there. Let's see.
And will the gas be, is gas been repiped then, Jeremy, or is that still?
Oh, it has been repaired?
Yeah.
Who repaired it?
Corporate Mechanical. Because I was a bit upset with Metro Air. I called them out and they said, oh, you have to call Ziegler. So I don't know why they didn't touch it. So if you don't believe me, you can talk to Mr. Polypan. He come out and say, oh, I don't have a wrench big enough. No, maybe you want to call Ziegler to take care of that.
And so Ziegler...
So I was a bit flustered that Metro Air didn't come out and address the issue on that. They've always been really good to us. But
So who actually took that piece of pipe out and then put the
Corporate
new one?
Corporate Mechanical.
Okay, and so Ziegler wasn't involved in it at all?
Well, they were. All right. It was their plumber.
Okay, all right, okay.
Okay, that's... All right. Two and two together here.
So they did have Metro Air look at it first. And
the pipe you hit, or why was it broken?
I don't know if I told all council members this, but I'll tell you a little story that I guess our maintenance guy called it in to Metro Air. It's always smelled like gas to me a little bit in there, just in that one room, you know. But now it finally got to the point where you walked into the plant and you could smell the whole plant. So we called it in, had NSB come out and take it. Well, I called Metro Air to come out and take care of it. And they said, well, when would you like us out there? And they said, well, if you had a gas leak in your house, when would you come? You know, I said, we're talking a gas leak here. And he goes, well, your maintenance guy called it in and said to come out any time this winter.
That was in August.
And that was on the 23rd of August.
Yeah, somewhere in there, yeah. So I don't know. If I had a gas leak at home, I think I'd have them there now.
Like as soon as they could get there, exactly.
So, but anyways.
So it's fixed. It doesn't smell like gas in there.
Like I said, I got a cold right now, so I can't tell.
Well,
but I talked this morning. I met with People Services and asked them if they could smell anything, and they said they haven't been smelling any gas. So. And I figured I'd have them come check it. They can soap it tomorrow, and hopefully they'll have a monitor where they can check to make sure that there's, you know, no leaking gas.
On the battery, you mentioned it was for the city of Hamburg. So if there's any kind of discount, that they will apply it.
Right, and they said something about a discount because it was for the city.
Okay. Well, I imagine call CarQuest, tell them to get it. Why don't you let me know when it's there or something, or if they'll deliver it, which they might.
I'll let them know when it's there. I pick it up in the morning.
Well, okay.
It's just up the street. So I can
get it over here, we'll get it put in, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay. I'll call them tomorrow, and you'll have it here on Friday morning.
Friday morning?
Or Thursday morning. Thursday morning.
Yeah, there we are. All right, we got that handled.
Right. Other thing with the water treatment plant. Dialer. And this is something that People Service is also recommending, too, that we should look into getting a dialer out there. So when we do have an issue, that it does dial out, just like we have at the lift station for a sanitary sewer system. So I think, Mr. Holmes, you've kind of looked into it a little bit. I don't know if you can enlighten the council.
I did, and that was one thing Jeremy and I also talked about there at the last one of the council meetings here recently. Somebody came in at 8 o'clock and says we're out of water, and Jeremy went down the right away, and the system, for whatever, had kicked out, and there's a red light on the panel that currently was on, and there's a reset button that has to reset. In checking that a little bit further and talking with Jeremy, those pumps actually quit working at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so nobody noticed that they weren't working because, A, nobody had been in the building to see the red light on, and, B, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of water being used, but as people came home and did their dishes or whatever they do, we ran out of water. So there's a capability inside of that panel, I'm sure, that's got a set of contacts that when that thing goes into an alarm condition, that set of contacts either closes or opens. And you can have a light on the outside of the building that flashes, you can have a horn that blows, or you can have it hooked up to a dialer that will automatically dial one of three numbers. And what it does, it basically dials the phone and you hear one beep or two beep or three beeps. One beep is low temperature, two beeps is power failure, three beeps is the auxiliary channel, whatever it is. I have this sheet here that Amazon has, a dialer that's about $78, and it basically has a battery backup. You plug it into the wall, you plug it into the phone line that's there, and you hook the set of contacts across what would be the water detection capability here, and so that if that panel goes into the alarm condition for whatever reason, somebody gets notified. It'll dial a number, and once the person gets that message, they hit the pound sign on their phone. That tells the dialer that the message has been gotten. If somebody doesn't hit the pound sign because the phone's not answered, then it goes to the second number. And if that person hits the pound sign, then it stops. If that doesn't happen, they go to the third number, and this will try that for up to 10 hours. And so it's basically hooking across those contacts that are in that panel there. I'm not excited about going into that panel and starting to hook up wires, but if people's services or somebody could bring those contacts outside, and so we can hook up to the contacts.
I think there's some conduit. Looks like that was ran into the cement. It's piped up in the one room and then goes underneath in the cement through the wall into the actual treatment area. And then a pipe comes up. So I assume that it's just kind of a conduit they ran. So if you wanted to feed wire from one side to the other.
And it goes from the panel to where's it
going? Yeah, you know where the phone is?
Yeah, okay.
You know, and then you got that door to go into the actual treatment area. So it's right there by where the phone area is and then goes down and then comes up by where the, right before where the water heater is there.
Okay.
So I think you could probably feed, you know, a phone line through there and get it connected.
If I might interject here, there's a guy in Cologne, and I can't remember the guy that I don't remember who owns the place, but there's a company called Control Stuff. And he moved from, actually, in Cologne on 284. He's at just west of the corner where 53 meets 50 there in Gotha now.
Yeah.
And he's actually, I'm pretty sure he does this kind of stuff. I would say you might want to give him a call and see if he would install it, you know, maybe supply the switch, that type of thing, the whole dialer. I know he helped us fix our compressor with the switches, the three-phase compressor that we had in the shop there. I think he might be worth giving a call to. I can't remember the guy's name.
Bob Sarlos. He's the one who started the company.
Was it? He's not the guy that owns it now. That doesn't sound right.
Control stuff.
And I can't remember the guy's name now, but he's a really good guy though, and he used to buy a lot of stuff from us at Cargo.
Well, the idea here is that it's, you know, $78 and we get it from Amazon. If it doesn't work, we can send it back, so we haven't spent any money to try it out. But my concern is I don't want to open up that panel and go in there and say, well, I think this is where we hook up. I want somebody to bring that contact out and say, yeah, this is where you hook up.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't know if he would
supply
that
parts and labor. He would install it, too. I mean, as far as I know, he does that stuff. That's why I would say we'd give him it isn't going to hurt to give him a phone call.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and as to how much the parts are going to cost, I mean, my guess is he'll probably be comparable to this. He may be more, but we're buying locally, number one, and we know what we're getting because he's going to supply us with something good.
Give him a contact call.
You can give him a call and have him come out and look at it. He's got a website here or something.
Yep. Any more on that? Well, if he wants to just check things out, we've got one option ready. So.
And then also just kind of give council update. I think for the first time in a while, we're up to date on our sewer reports. So all the sewer reports are done and have been submitted. So we're good there.
What a deal.
Community center repairs. As we've discussed numerous times, how far we were going to go with taking the brick off the front of the building. Well, in discussion, we agreed to kind of go to the corner here. And as we did that, if any of you have taken a look outside, you can see we have some serious water damage to any of the, basically, where you go into the fire hall there, to the left of that. That's all, that plywood's just gone. It's rotted out. It's almost gone. And what we're afraid of is that that whole wall may kind of be that way. So Mr. Elfke is going to come out tomorrow and he's going to pull that panel off to see what damage we have. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think we need to get it fixed and get it addressed now.
It's like we don't have much of a choice.
No,
as long as he's got it apart anyway, so get it done.
So just a heads up, there'll be some added costs there with some of the repairs going on here in the community center. He's hoping to get at that this week, get that corrected, and then so they can come out and get going on the brickwork, and then they're hoping to finish up the office by the end of this week, too.
And is something going to be done to the gutter up there that caused this problem? Is that going to be re-engineered or something? Or?
I mean, we can...
I think it was a lot of ice. That thing always builds up with ice.
Always had a major ice dam there.
Never got taken care of before, and I think that was it. Now it's this is the afterbirth of what's happened, and now we got to fix it. But I think that window should be, if there's any damage to the other window, might as well replace that window right away, the other window.
I can have a look at it.
Flashing. They put the flashing,
flashing.
And then flashing. The flashing, sorry.
Flashing.
Yeah. Wood on the top of it instead of underneath it, that so the window.
That other window looks so much different than the other one, and it looks like it should be replaced anyway.
That one too. Hopefully that's the only area that we have this issue.
So what's the fix to solve this problem from happening again with ice or whatever, heating cables or taking the gutters off?
Last couple of years we've had that.
Heater.
I think the main thing is just to monitor and keep the snow off the roof.
And the heater's been on, the cable has been on and started.
The problem is you got one roof coming onto another, you know?
Yeah.
And it just all convenes there and dams up.
Well, we'll have to see what develops and get ahead.
Yeah, so I'll have him take care of that tomorrow. I've asked him to put a cost together for that also when he comes tomorrow. So he'll do that separately.
All right.
Other thing, wanted to let you know that the Cologne ISP, they're looking to sell that off to a Hutchinson-based company, Broadband Corp. Council has any issues or concerns with that?
Isn't this the time maybe to get paid for electricity?
Well, we didn't have that agreement with Cologne. We did with Mr. Springlink, but I didn't know that there was anything in there with Cologne's contract.
Yeah. We get free service if we want it?
Well, I guess that would be something that, I would look at that we kind of try to continue. What I'd like to see is a little bit better of a cut for the city to receive other than what we had with Cologne ISP, especially if they do. I have a lot more accounts that we get in some type of cut for the use of the tower.
A little compensation.
Well, would this be a good time then? Would this be a good time then to reconsider the decision on the county fiber optic cable?
I think this is apples and oranges. This is something that a private company is providing internet service to.
Well,
to Wi-Fi.
One thing is maybe next meeting I would like to. unless council has any objection with them basically selling their customer base and assets to the Hutchinson-based broadband corp, I mean, you know, we can look at, you know, some other type of maybe changing the agreement if this broadband corp would be acceptable some to different terms. But from what I understand, they just want to transfer it as is. But what I would like to maybe look at is, like I said, a little bit better compensation for the city if we can't negotiate, and then also that we get provided free service, you know, at city buildings.
Yeah, we were supposed to get that originally, and that's never happened. But Jeremy, have you looked at their prices here just for their internet service?
I did.
3 megabits, $99.95
a month. Yeah, it's expensive.
Here we have 2 megabits, $74.95 a month. 1 megabit, $49.95 a month. That's highway robbery. They have this TV package, $35 a month, but also they charge you, you have a cap on how much data that you can use, not only on the internet,
right,
but also on the TV. And I think this is a bad deal. You know, the other thing I'm not comfortable with is they want exclusive rights to the water tower, so that if Verizon or Sprint or T-Mobile comes along further down the road and wants to offer us, you know, $600 a month for putting antennas on our tower.
I guess then the only other option is that we don't offer our site up anymore. I guess I don't know what council's direction with this then.
Well, I guess.
I guess as far as I'm concerned, you know, if they want to, you know, I do believe that some of their prices are kind of extortion here. I mean, compared.
But that's up to them.
But that's up to them. That's not our issue.
I guess
they set their prices. What we need to deal with is, do we want to allow them access to that site yet?
And that does not give them the sole access to it.
No.
I mean, if somebody else comes along that we can make a deal with, so be it.
Well, it says here it gives the first opportunity to operate on the city of Amber's water towers with the following frequencies. Those are your cell phone frequencies right there. And typically how that works, and I know this firsthand because I worked with a guy that was a property manager for water towers for Burnsville and Minneapolis and all over, and somebody goes in there and they have control of that site and they control who goes up there. So if we give them that authority, and T-Mobile or Verizon or somebody wants to come and put an antenna up there, they can prohibit that from happening. And we're giving that water tower site to them right now for free. We're not getting the free internet access that we said we were going to get, but if somebody wants to come and give us $300 a month, we aren't going to be able to allow that to happen. So I think my personal opinion is we should get out of the business completely because their prices, like Jeremy says, that's extortion. They don't have a good service. They offer Netflix, but you can get Netflix for $7.99 off of your phone line.
Maybe in our best interest is let them find a silo. Yeah.
And we're also going to have...
I need direction from council.
And we're going to also have this high-speed internet from CenturyLink. That's going to be coming available. And that's going to be $29.95 a month is what they're advertising for up to 20 megabits. So I think we should get out of it, my personal opinion.
Other discussion?
Well, I think if we're letting them put it up there free, I think we should have something to say about it. I don't think we should just let them go running roost over the whole thing.
Well, not that they've got sole rights. I don't like that idea either. If that's
no.
Selling.
And we can't tell what the charges of customers, but for the city to... To allow them to be up there and having these exorbitant prices. Granted, you know, if the customer doesn't want it, they don't pay for it. But I just, I think it's a bad deal. I think this is the time to bail on it.
Chris?
I think if, don't give them exclusivity, but if they want to give us free access,
yeah,
at least we're getting something out of the deal.
Right.
No. I don't think they should be able to get it through.
This here, no, this is just said to transfer.
It's just a letter of intent. It's
right.
Not saying
okay.
That we're going to...
But where would it fall into play, like Chris says, that we do not give them exclusive rights
We'd have to draft that. We may have to draft up a new contract with them. And
but for this letter,
outline everything.
For the letter of intent, no, it's just so be it.
Well, letter of intent is that we don't saying that we wouldn't have an issue with it, but if we have some issues, then I maybe want to get back to Cologne and let them know here's what the council wants.
I think that's the key.
Yeah, but here's the situation, and listen, because I know about this, is that you have a problem with radio frequencies when they're close together. It's called intermodulation, and you have harmonics and subharmonics and sub-subharmonics and whatnot. And so when you have a system here, that system could interfere with the system that's going to be put up there. So this company, for example, T-Mobile, wants to come up there and put their equipment up, but this equipment is already there, and electronically and frequency-wise, that's going to interfere with T-Mobile. So T-Mobile's going to say, no, we can't put our equipment up there because theirs is up there and it's interfering with us. So then we lose out on whatever T-Mobile or whoever wants to pay us.
Have you gotten any bites or any hints or any...
No, and you know, I've talked to the people. They're interested and they say we're on the list for consideration. And, you know, who knows, it could be next week, it could be next year, it could be not at all.
Probably the day after we agree on that.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, I would probably somehow include that we get free internet service and the fact that they do not have exclusive rights. I like that idea.
But like I said, if they're up there, they're already operating on the same frequencies as someone else, you almost have given them exclusive rights.
Exactly, right.
Well, they
control the camera.
There's a radio tower on the north side of Northern America that has five or six different dishes on it from different companies. So I got to think that they've worked out some way to be on the same pole.
And that's what you do is there's a computer program. My brother did this with his computer company. This engineer came to him and said, okay, here is a site, for instance, Northern America. Here are the antennas that are on here. Here are the frequencies that are operating on there. You know, figure out what these intermod characteristics are. And a lot of companies could not go up there because of the interference that it would cause. And I'm just afraid that that's going to be the problem here. And, you know, so you tell these people, well, we got Sprint wants to put their system up here now and give us $600 a month or a year or whatever it is. But they can't do it because you're there. We have to give them at least 6 months' notice to take their stuff down to cancel the contract. Granted, there's a lot of variables and a lot of ifs and whatnot, but I just...
maybe we're not getting nothing off of it now anyway.
Right.
Maybe we should just opt to get out of it.
Yep.
And then we let to see what happens in the future.
Council's wishes?
Yeah, that would double check with T-Mobile and find out, hey, we have this up there right now. Is that going to have an impact on you? And if so...
You can't even talk to somebody. You know, I was lucky to get one phone call from somebody from, I think it was Verizon. But, you know, it's basically emails, and you try to call back, and you get the quagmire of, you know...
I think rather than hash this out till 10 o'clock, we, at this point, we're nothing out if we say...
Well, maybe we should have someone from Cologne come to the next meeting then.
Can we do that?
I said, why not?
Well, there's a good idea.
I second that motion.
Then we can decide.
Yeah.
All right. You should have said that sooner.
Sorry.
But yeah, that, I like that. Let them come.
Well, I had a motion on the table to cancel this, you know, based on what you were saying, so I just...
Want to resend it? Or?
No, I just...
Die to lack of seconds.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay, motion has died due to lack of second.
All right, I'll talk to the administrator over there and have them come to a meeting so we can discuss this transfer. Next thing before I forget. Snow plowing contract for 2013-2014 snow season. Basically, very minimal increases from previous snowplowing season. Basically a $2 increase for the blade rate with plow and wing, and $1.50 an hour increase in the sand truck rate. Otherwise, other rates basically were the same, other than salt sand mix went from $16.50 a ton to $18 a ton, so very close and similar in prices.
Well, that's one thing. What's the council's feelings on with salt sand for a year? I don't like salt sand anymore.
Pure?
I like pure salt. It does a better job to me, and I don't have the stuff in the gutters going down the drains. We don't have to, you know, less maintenance. What's your thoughts? It costs more, but I think it's more effective.
For sand or salt?
Just salt. Pure salt milk salt. Mix.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, that's kind of a running discussion that Brad and I have had. He says, you know, salt doesn't do any good when it gets too cold.
And if it's too cold, yeah.
But, you know, when it's 15 or 20 degrees, I think, you know, it works fine. Probably not as good when it's 30. But that's why, one of the reasons why he said we don't salt the streets in Hamburg, because the salt doesn't do any good. That's why we just use sand. I agree with you. I think salt does a better job, and that's what it's designed for, and that's what you throw up in your gutters. You don't throw sand up there.
I mean, I drive through Norwood. That's all salt. And that's
exactly. Yeah.
You know, they're clean.
Exactly.
Greg, you got any input? You've been involved maybe with some of this.
The only thing is, you know, when it gets out of material, your salt's not going to work until it starts to come up. Where if you add some sand in there, you would have a little grit.
A little traction.
You lay it out, stuff all ends up in your sewer system. On somebody's yard, and the crab and edge and everything else. I know that the county there, the main commuter roads and stuff are pure salt now, just because it goes, your turnaround is so much quicker. I mean, yeah. 24 hour back road there, seven settlements, you gotta hit it several times. I guess if you've got a better end result faster, because you're not filling your sewers. Yes, like I said, when it gets real cold, don't work till the sun comes out and eats up.
That's winter though too.
Yeah.
People got to learn how to redrive too.
I know more of those straight salt.
Yeah.
Brent won't even, he doesn't even mix anymore. He went straight salt. He said he got a lot better results. Plus, he's got no amount of he does the sand and salt, and he does it several times, which I don't believe he really do anyway, but I mean, like I said, I know he just said he's cutting down on the hours and the sweeping and the jetting of the sewers. He said, when you figure that all out, you're coming by way ahead, so that's just something to think about.
So I don't know, that's just my preference, I guess, but we got the whole council's ideas.
And so they'll do whatever, they'll use whatever we say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We want all salt, that's what they'll put down. We want salt sand, that's what they'll use.
And you believe salt alone is better?
I do.
Do you need a motion to that effect, Jeremy?
Well, we just need a motion to approve it, and then I can let them know that
that's what we want.
We prefer to use pure salt.
So yes. Moved.
So move on the proposal for the snow removal.
And agree with the prices.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the quote from William Miller and Sons for the snow removal for this season. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Next items. Yes, please. This quote from Bargain. I just wanted to bring it forth to council. I know we talked about it. We approved this in May already. But they will come out and do it. It's cost of $4,072. And that's basically do the crack sealing and to basically seal coat the rest of the area around the lion shelter building where the bleaches are there in that area in between the lion shelter building and the food stand. So we did approve that back in May, but They finally got back to me with estimates, so I wanted to make council aware of what
they would do it yet now?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're kind of working in the.
Well, we already approved it, so.
So just wanted to give you an update on that because when we talked about it in May, there was no price put to it. So.
Is there advantage to maybe putting it off until next spring rather than now?
I'd rather now that the water doesn't get in the
cracks.
Okay. Yeah. Preventive. Next thing you got, compensation for rounds on weekends and holidays. I just want to get something clarified here with what we have and with Mr. Schultz. We did make a motion, agreed to pay anyone, you know, $25 that completed the rounds in Dennis's absence. So what I would ask, I did complete them rounds, that if, I guess maybe it would be best of a motion that council would approve that for myself to do the rounds and at the $25 a day for August 31st to October 20th at the $25 a day. And then the other thing moving forward, because what we have in the handbook now is basically 2 hours. Anybody that does rounds is 2 hours. So I guess I just want to check with council what they want to do moving forward for rounds when Mr. Schultz starts. I guess what I would like to see amended to the handbook, and I've kind of talked to Greg about this because I think the city was a little bit fortunate on that side that Dennis was always around, always did rounds, always took care of him. What I'd like to see in there is if we can maybe amend it to keep it at what we have in the handbook, and then when I complete the rounds, that we keep the same $25.
And what does the handbook say about Greg?
Well, right now it says employees shall be reimbursed for a minimum of 2 hours for complete scheduled rounds on the weekend and holidays.
So and that's
What we have now. But
so that's 4 hours of overtime in?
No. So well, it could be if you put in his 40 hours.
Okay, that's what because wasn't that the deal with Dennis, is that he was working 36 hours and then 2 hours on the weekends?
We tried to keep at that.
Yeah, how did that work?
I usually ended up in overtime.
Well, there's stuff to do.
But
in Germany,
but it would be worked. I mean, and the reason why we originally, it used to be 2 hours at overtime, and I got rid of the overtime part because I didn't feel it was right to get 2 hours at overtime if you didn't put in your 40. So the main reason I did that, so say employee doesn't work, takes a vacation day on Monday, and then they get that at overtime, whereas vacation, sick, you know, those types of things won't count towards overtime anyway. So I guess my thing was, if I'm going to be doing the rounds more, I'd like to be compensated in some way for doing them.
And I think that $25 a day is good.
Well, I can tell you right now, the city's almost come out ahead on that.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, you've been here for 3 and 4 hours.
An hour lately.
Yeah.
I've spent half my Saturdays here doing things.
And if there's a problem with the community hall, they call you, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that $25, that's a gopher state bargain rate with you as far as I'm concerned.
So I guess something I'd like to see is one motion to approve compensation for $25 a day for completing rounds August 31st to October 20th.
I'll make that motion.
And then...
Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Motion made and seconded to approve the $25 per day from August 20th to September.
August 31st to October 20th.
Those dates.
Yeah, through that period.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And then I guess moving forward, what are council's thoughts on how you want to deal with that? Because, and I've always thought too, we should have a rotating shift. I mean, it shouldn't be the responsibility of Mr. Schultz to be around every weekend. And I don't mind, you know, stepping in and doing rounds and being around that weekend. If, you know, if Greg's talked, if he's got a cabin and he wants to go up north, then we can kind of discuss that. But yet, I guess my thing is, I'd like to be compensated then if I'm going to be doing rounds more, instead of just giving, you know, a freebie to the city where
I mean, that'd be like now.
Really?
If you do it, you get $25, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the future. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
so be it. I mean,
that's what the motion was.
No, that was.
Well, that was just for this
for that
period
time period.
While we
then we should make another motion for when he's some rotating rounds or something that Jeremy.
That would be
his.
Worked out between Greg and you, right? Whenever.
Well, then I would. What well, I would
I'll,
say is that
I'll
we,
move that we amend the employee handbook to read that the maintenance worker is compensated 2 hours of time each day of the weekend unround
for weekend and holidays
and when not able to do it any other city employee will be get $25 a day.
We can't only get
well okay
I just say city employee that way it covers if Sue had to do them for
yeah.
some reason or something.
All right.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded to modify the handbook to state with the rounds as to the pay of Jeremy $25 and city maintenance as 2 hours of regular time. Am I right? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, next thing. Vacation, I'll be gone. So two things I want to deal with vacation. 23rd, I leave that night. I'll probably come in that morning, meet with city staff, kind of go over last minute things. And then I won't be back till November 7th. But back, actually won't be coming back to work on the 12th because I took off the 8th and then it's Veterans Day on the 11th. I would be back. So two things is what we want to do with Sue's hours that time while I'm gone, and then also about maybe moving the council meeting from the 12th to the 14th. So when I come back into the office, I at least have a couple of days, one to put an agenda together, two to get up to speed.
And the 14th, what day is that?
It's a Thursday, and I know that doesn't work for you, but otherwise I don't know if I want to prolong it till the next Monday, because I'm sure we don't want to meet Friday night.
No. That's those beer and chips.
Second to motion.
We can arrange that.
Oh, sorry.
But unless you want to wait even till like Monday would be the 18th?
That wouldn't work because we'd have a Lions meeting at
that's
Monday.
Right. You have Lions.
Well, that's a Tuesday money. Then.
19th?
I guess what's the difference?
As far as I'm concerned, the city business is more important than me working. I'll just take Thursday off and I'll work the Thursday
I think
beforehand.
The 19th would work too. I mean, the only thing is then we're going to get into, we're basically going to have back-to-back meetings, 19th and 26th, because we're getting into the budget.
It's
up to you. I'm open. 19th works for me too, and that gives me more time to get it up to speed and agendas together. That too.
I'll move that we move the November 12th meeting to November 19th.
Sure. There's a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to change the November 14th meeting.
November 12th.
November 12th to November 19th. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And then what do you want to do with Sue's hours?
Well,
do you want her to work 40, or do you want to do a, maybe if we put a schedule up 9 to 4? 35 hours or 30 hours, we work some type of schedule out. What are council's wishes there on keeping the office open then?
Well, this is a business, so I like people here. So it's 35 hours, and we go with that. People can be here by 4 o'clock, can't they? Otherwise, it's what, 4:30 or 5?
4:30. I'm usually here till 5:30.
Set up from
9
to
4. 9 to 4?
9 to
4. The council.
Well, I'm putting a notice in the window.
We'll lay it out every day.
I think that's fine.
But we got to have a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to change Sue's hours in the interim from 9 to 4. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? carried.
So then kind of what I would suggest is we would just hold another couple. What we get into there is we got to start looking at final budget. So we got to kind of have a budget workshop tied into that. We got to do employee evaluations. We may have to look at setting health insurance that night too. So one of the things, I'm currently working with our broker right now on the health insurance for next year. What we may want to do is renew the insurance for effective 12-1 to 12-1 next year, so we can kind of avoid some of the 2014 rates. Kind of the thought process is that we can jump on, but this is pending looking at some other plans. So I've got some information to Greg that I need him to fill out online, and I'll fill out that information tomorrow, get that to our brokers so they can start looking at other companies and other plans and kind of set all that up. But we may want to look in, hopefully, I know you hear what you hear on the news, but what I've heard in these seminars, and what I've heard in talking to different brokers with this Obamacare, there's so many unknowns that insurance companies are just jacking up their rates.
Boy, I heard 40% batted around.
Yeah, and rates are anywhere on average right now from 25 to 160% increases. Ours went up 30. So what I'm trying to do is we can maybe get something comparable and put it together, make it effective December 1st to December 2014. That way we've signed into a contract, we have to deal with the 2014, you know, rates and issues. And then hopefully by then, maybe government can iron out all the kinks and issues, and maybe some of the unknowns go away for the insurance industry by the time we would renew again. But yeah, I make no promises there.
Is Greg going to have insurance starting the 1st of November then here with us?
He should, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess what I'd say is, you know, at the 19th, then we'd probably call for a second meeting, the 26th, where we can address them issues as far as, the, you know, hold a budget workshop within the council meeting. You know, hold a closed meeting for employee evaluations. We probably want to be looking at health insurance premiums at that time and setting that for the next year. And then we can look at the city fee schedule at that same time, too. And we don't have to set that tonight, but then we probably want to look at having a public hearing to adopt the city fee schedule at our December 10th meeting, too. So then them fees are in place for 2014.
Jeremy, changing the calendar on the health insurance side, will that have any impact on the audit or have any impact on any other of our calendar year budgeting?
Sure.
Just a month. I mean, you know what I mean? We'd have to guesstimate, you know, that December of 2014. And as far as audit, that's all accrual base. So it all gets there's a spreadsheet that I do that, so we sort that all out. So audit-wise, I'm not worried at all. Yeah. It would just be that unknown, what would December 2014 be, you know, to put to it at the budget, because we wouldn't know that, because we'd be going December 1st to December 1st, so we just have to kind of guesstimate and add a, I don't know, 20% increase. We probably want to throw in there for 2014 for 1 month, you know, to cover ourselves.
How long have we been with the company that we have?
3-4 years now with Medica right now.
I was talking to Jason Smith today, and he said, see, I had in the past, I had individual policies with my daughters. After my divorce, it was cheaper to go that way with a higher deductible than what I was to pay family coverage. And he said this issue he's got going on now from Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and everything is they're going back to 2010 or before, they're leaving their people alone. If you signed up 2010,
and after,
up to 60% jump.
And I know we signed on before 10, and we're at 30.
Okay. Yeah, he just said that, you know, he doesn't set the prices, but he said people just got their letters today.
And see what the problem is, and this is one of the problems I have with Obamacare, is because, like with us, you basically get assigned a risk factor, right? And right now, it's 0.75 in the group we're in, and we're low. That's as low as you can get. It goes from 0.75 to 1.25 risk factor. Problem is, with Obamacare, with them coming out and saying you can't prejudge anything or can't discriminate against nothing, now that all gets grouped together. So now some our group, that's a 0.75, probably is a 1 risk factor. Boom, there go your premiums. I mean, it's just, I don't agree with hardly anything with this Obamacare from what I've heard. And none of the brokers do either. So I just...
Even the Republicans.
Well, obviously, and I'm starting to, as the more I learn about it, I'm starting to side with them more. Not that I side with Republicans, but it's just, there's so many unknowns, and I even called Medica and asked, how do you justify a 30% increase? And they said, because of the unknowns. We don't know. We don't even know if that 30% will cover it.
Yeah, they're trying to err on the side of caution. So yeah. Because they could possibly take a big hit as it is, so they don't know.
And a lot of it is because now they have to, you know, when they had the groupings, they knew what our group was. They knew our history. Now we're getting grouped with people that aren't as healthy as us. And it just, it's a mess. And it's going to be a mess for a while, I think.
It sounds that way. Well, let's see what happens. That's all we can do at this point, right?
Yeah. So I'll do some research into it and see what we can come up with best rates.
To be determined. All right. Anything else?
This should be it for me.
You scared us enough. We'll move on. Approved payment added September 2013 claims of $703.92. Basically, you know, one is the one hatch payment, $112.08, and check $16,399 for $591.84. Questions? Otherwise, I look for a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. To approve the added September claims. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the October claims.
I'll move to approve the four ATCH payments and check number 16400 to 16432 for a total of 49,636.87.
That should be 49,760.493. Do you got an updated one? Go ahead, apologize.
Yes.
Let's use those numbers.
We'll use those numbers. So we have the four ASH payments and
16,400 to 16,432 for 49,764.93.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve the October claims list. Four ATCH payments in 16,400 to 16,432, total of 49,764.93. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to our council member report. Mr. Odoms.
I have nothing other to talk about already today.
Bob?
I really don't have anything other than people that I talked to earlier are still voicing their objections to our assessment policy, but apparently there's not a lot that they could do about it. But that's about all I got. So.
The mill and overlay meeting.
What's that?
Mill and overlay.
Yeah.
For the assessment.
Thanks for that.
Went to the Carver County leaders meeting this morning. We had a lady from the Met Council talking about our water supply system. Apparently, we've worked under four different aquifers, and I don't know which one we operate because she didn't have it. She didn't list out which.
Figs.
Figs? It actually, that one's renamed. It's renamed to one that she didn't like the new name because it's tougher to say.
Franconia and Ironsdale.
Yeah, now it's
the deepest is Mount Simon, but I don't think you can tap into that anymore.
No, you can't do that. Now the one where the thing is now called Tunnel City Wanawak.
What?
Yep. When did they rename that?
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, okay.
Tunnel City what?
Tunnel City Wanawak Aquifer.
Can I buy a valve?
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's
a acronym for that.
She didn't like it either. So basically, right now, I mean, if that's the one we're attached to, some of the management concerns they had is that productivity varies greatly because of how far it's down. Lack of connection to the surface waters, and it's actually a benefit is that it is not as vulnerable to the contaminations as the glacier aquifer is, which is the one that's like basically the first 40 feet or 50 feet.
Yeah, Prairie du Chien.
Yeah, and the Prairie du Chien is the next one, and then our aquifer is the next one after that. Yeah. But essentially what it was is that they're looking at ways to go to more surface water. I guess back in the 70s, they used to use more surface water than the aquifer. Something flipped. Also, the interesting point is when it looks like they started to flip, they actually used different data sources. So
they did that themselves by doing a lot of runoffs, though, too.
Yeah.
You know, so they did some of that damage themselves by having everything run off when they did all these grading plants. And now they're saying, no, we want to get away from that now, because basically you had all that water running off, going into your, holding ponds, and then, going to the rivers, lakes, and streams. But now they're talking about getting back to keeping that water and get back into the aquifers instead of running off and running away.
Yeah. And their thought is if they, like in drought years, they would tap the aquifer, and then non-drought years, they would tap the surface water, because, we just have an excess amount of surface water. I just want to mention that the metropolitan area, St. Paul, Minneapolis, that uses the Mississippi, they only use about 2% of the water flow to tap into. Otherwise, the rest of it, they tap into an aquifer, which is about the rest of it. So, yeah, this is an interesting conversation. But
I always thought they'd use more.
I guess I never knew they renamed that.
Yeah. It must have been a recent occurrence, because a lot of people are...
Our wells are roughly about 600 feet down.
Anything else?
I will be reconvening the park subcommittee on the bathroom down there sometime this month to go over the new drawings that I put together and see where we want to go from there.
All right, good.
Anything look feasible then on that? With using the existing building?
Yeah, using the existing. I think we can use it, and we don't have to do any major construction. So.
Okay, good. Mr. Trevish?
No, I'm fine.
Quiet tonight. Quiet. Anything else pertaining to the city?
Could we get a centralized list of everybody's cell phone numbers? Because like when they had that generator problem, I tried to get a hold of you, and I just had your home phone number. So if we could have everybody's
cell phone. I have an emergency contact listing and city. I can email that to council.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe you should get it to Greg, too.
Yes, definitely.
Like if you've got questions, Jeremy or me, just don't hesitate. Might not have the right answer, but we can make something up.
A lot of times I'd rather deal with that night than on a Monday or something. Right.
Anything else for the city? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.